Good afternoon, everyone. Brian Newbert here from GoldenBlack.com, live in his car, once again leaving Mackey Arena, this time following Purdue's 104-68 win over Nebraska on Sunday afternoon. You heard that correctly, 104-68. This is your GoldenBlack.com Drive Home postgame podcast. It is brought to you by our friends at the East End Grill and Rippling Company, Purdue Federal Credit Union, Sand Valley Resort, and the Whitaker Inn, which I'll be driving by here in about 10 minutes, hoping they keep their coyotes and such on their property as I drive by. So, once again, Purdue wins 104-68. You did hear that correctly, 104-68 against Nebraska. And before I start talking about the actual game, let's put that in context for a moment. Who have been the biggest pains in the ass for Purdue to play over the years? Nebraska is certainly one of them. Because of the way that they defend. They have this funky defensive system that Purdue is actually mimicking right now. It's been so hard to play against Nebraska that Purdue is playing the same defense that has given them problems that Nebraska has employed. Nebraska is a legitimately good defensive team this year. I think they were 14th in efficiency, according to our friend Ken Pomeroy, prior to today from a defensive perspective. Sorry, I'm making a turn that is requiring me to put some strength into my left arm. And Purdue scored 104 points and shot, I don't even know what their percentage was, but I think it was somewhere around 120% based on the game I just watched. Purdue had one of those special Mackey Arena three-point shooting games, which situationally was very important because of that defensive system that I mentioned earlier, where Nebraska basically plays 5-on-4 defensively on one side of the floor, leaving somebody anchored in the lane pretty much at all times to either help in the post or take away pick and roll. If that sounds familiar, it's because that's what you watch Purdue do every game now. That's now Purdue's defensive system. And it was derived at least in part by Nebraska. And that was what Purdue went against today and absolutely obliterated. Again, 104 points. I can get you the percentages here now that I'm stopped. So Purdue shoots 63% from the floor, 57.6% from three-point range, 19 of 33 from three. Keep in mind, there were about 25 minutes of garbage time in this game, too, because Purdue was up 20 before you even knew it, before you even noticed. And that wasn't all that surprising. The way Nebraska plays, i.e. the way Purdue now plays, it is vulnerable to the three-pointer because, again, you're playing 5-on-4. Somebody's open somewhere, and if the offense just does the right things, it's going to get a good look from three-point range. And if Purdue was able to just muster a good shooting game, the possibility was always there that they could crack this thing wide open pretty quick. And Purdue didn't just get a good shooting game. It got an unbelievable shooting game. And one of those special Mackey Arena nights where I guess all the opponent could probably do is just walk out shaking its head, knowing there was probably nothing it could have done on this night. And that's kind of Nebraska's deal. But Purdue was unbelievable offensively. Braden Smith is, I don't want to say he's on a hell of a run because this is his normal. He's just grabbing these games by the throat and not letting go, controlling everything about these games. He's doing a good job defensively. He's doing a good job as a scorer, even though I think he'd rather pass. I think he'd rather have 14 assists and 30 points. I don't think he'd dispute that even. He has just been unbelievable lately, and I know unbelievable sounds like overstatement, but it's not in this case. He has been really, really elite, and, you know, he's viewed as one of the best point guards in the country. He is, if there's a better point guard in the country, in terms of the things you think of point guards doing, in terms of controlling games, distributing the ball, things like that, setting up teammates, orchestrating offense, there's nobody better in college basketball than this guy. There's just no way. You know, Trey Kaufman-Wren has another great game. This was not a game where Purdue played traditional post-up offense, which is what Nebraska's defense really makes difficult. And Trey Kaufman-Wren's ability to score from the high post, to score on those short rolls, those runners, but also pass out of it, also we would be talking about him as the absolute breakout of this game if, you know, Braden Smith didn't have 14 assists and just dominate the game in every facet. Trey Kauf-Moran has 15 points, 16 points, but also 7 assists and no turnovers. Keep in mind how uncommon 7 assists is for anyone who's not named Braden Smith. And Trey Kauf-Moran, whose career high prior to today was probably 3 or 4, gets 7 with no turnovers. Just a really, really remarkable stat line from Trey Kauf-Moran. I know these are big, gaudy words I'm using here, remarkable and all that stuff, but 7 assists and no turnovers for any big guy, any post scorer, is really, really impressive. And then the three-point shooting. Fletcher Loyer was at his highest level in this game. 19 points, we're not even talking about him because of the other guys around him. Really, really great game from him. He's playing very well. He's just getting overshadowed by other guys right now. And one of those guys today was the little firecracker that is CJ Cox, who gets 23 points. If you had CJ Cox getting 23 points against Nebraska on your bingo card, you are a winner. 5 of 7 from three-point range. He 4 steals. Did an unbelievable job defensively, along with Miles Colvin and some other people, on Bryce Williams, who came in averaging 19 points a game and got 8, and only got to 8 because Miles Colvin got called for a weird technical foul after making a 3-pointer in the second half. Bryce Williams shot the 2 free throws. That's what got him from 6 to 8. So this is a guy averaging 19 a game who comes into Mac Arena, gets 8, and turns the ball over 4 times. Falling in line perfectly with Purdue shutting down Brooks Barnheiser and Nick Martinelli at Northwestern, Purdue shutting down Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper at Rutgers. This is becoming a really good defensive team, too. This is not a physically overwhelming defensive team, but what you've seen from Purdue these last 4 games in the Big Ten has been a team that is really, really connected, really, really detail-oriented, really, really active, really, really energetic, and really, really prepared. And the important undercurrent to the word prepared is a team that's really listening and really paying attention to details and responsibilities and assignments. And to use the worst sports cliche we have in circulation these days, doing their job. The numbers don't tell the story of how well Purdue is defending. The turnover numbers are surprising and extremely significant. You know, the shooting percentages, the point totals are what they are. But if you watch the games, you see these guys playing and communicating as cohesively as I think I've seen Purdue defend in years. And this was another great example. And I think, you know, as much as everybody's involved in this, I think the guy who's really making it possible right now is Caleb First, because he is having an incredible defensive impact for a team that has really come a long way defensively since the first few weeks of the season. And you can't give him enough credit for what this team has become defensively. A big part of it, too, is Purdue is not, you know, turning the ball over on offense. That was Purdue's biggest defensive issue early in the season. It was the offense turning the ball over when Purdue lost. Purdue wasn't a great defensive team otherwise. They're not a physically overwhelming team. They're not big. They don't have rim protection. But when they turned the ball over, they went from an average defensive team to a bad one. And that's why, you know, that foreign feeling for Purdue people of actually losing games before January occurred. And I think we're coming to find out here, or some of us suspected it, but I think it's being validated now that Purdue struggles with turnovers and, more importantly, points off turnovers in those losses. Those were all opponent-specific deals. Those were all the work of very distinct types of teams and cultures and defensive systems and defensive mindsets and experience and chronological age mixed in. And I think though the teams Purdue lost to all uniquely gave Purdue problems that most of the teams the rest of this season weren't going to. And that's why I said after Auburn, I think Purdue's okay here. The Big Ten schedule is going to set up in a way that sets Purdue up to succeed early, build some momentum, and then be the best version of itself around midseason, just in time to really ramp up in that Big Ten race. I think that's exactly what you're seeing, not to take credit for making a prediction of sorts, but I do think that's what you're seeing. You're seeing Purdue getting better and better, cleaning up some of their issues, covering up some of their deficiencies. This is not a perfect team. This is not a complete team. There are things missing in this team when you hold it up against the standard of some of the teams that came before it. But Purdue is doing the best job it can possibly do right now, in my opinion, covering up some of those shortcomings, notably size, notably rim protection, and it's really rolling right now because of it. Purdue has won its last four games by an average of 23 points. There have been no Big Ten heavyweights involved in those games, obviously, but a 23-point margin over a span of four games, two of which occurred on the road, is really something and really reflective of the momentum this team has going right now. That doesn't look like it's going to slow down at all. The issue right now is now you have to go out west. That is a challenge. You were just at Rutgers like 3 days ago. Now you're playing on alongside the other ocean a week later, not even a week later. And I don't think that should ever happen from a scheduling perspective. I understand it's all a big game of Jenga where you put something somewhere, you remove it, something somewhere, and it all falls apart because there are too many teams in the Big Ten covering too many states and too many time zones. But this is an awful lot to ask of a team playing on one coast on a Thursday and then leaving for another on Tuesday and then playing on Wednesday. But Purdue looks up to it. I mean, from a basketball perspective, it would have to be something pretty fatigue-oriented, mentally, physically, whatever it might be that might hold them back out there. Oregon's very good. Washington, not so much. But Purdue looks like it's rounding into the form of the level of team they've had the past couple years and obviously a clear Big Ten title contender here. Now, the thing about this is that Michigan and Illinois have already laid the gauntlet. They went out west and they won their two games out there. So to keep up with those two other title contenders, Purdue can't fall on its face out west. There's absolutely no reason to think that's going to happen. But it's a lot to ask too for ask Purdue to go out there and win both of these games. They're certainly good enough too. They're certainly playing at a level that suggests they might. But it is a pretty tall order. So we will see what happens here this next week. And with that said, I sound like a recruit making a notes app announcement on Twitter. With that being said, I will talk to you guys again next week from Seattle, Washington, after Purdue plays at Washington. In the meantime, this is Brian Neuber from GoldenBlack.com with your GoldenBlack.com Drive Home Postgame Podcast. It is brought to you by our friends at the East Anglia and Ripple & Company, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the Sand Valley Resort, and the Whitaker Inn, which I'm just about getting just about approaching here. So that's my stopping point. If you're listening to this on a platform that allows you to leave a review of some kind, if you would be so kind as to leave us a 5-star review and a pleasant, productive comment, if you can find it in your heart to do so, I would appreciate that very much. And check out goldenblack.com for all our coverage from out west and all of what's going on with football recruiting right now. And we'll be happy to have you. So thanks a lot, everybody.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Chumba. Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.